Hello and welcome to the Linux Lads. As usual, my name is Shane.
I'm Connor.
My name is Mike.
And this week we're also joined by a very special guest. We are joined by Matthew of Lutris fame. How are you, Matthew?
Hello. Very good. And you?
Great, great. Thank you. So, thank you so much for coming on. This is amazing. It's a really important project, so it's really cool to have you on. This week, you know, usual quarantine stuff is going on. I don't know what else we can really say about that at this point. Other than just, yes, coronavirus is still a thing. Let's move on.
Day 1 million, we're still under quarantine.
Yeah, day 79,000 in the Big Brother house. This week anyway, or this fortnight, I should say. Mike, you were moving some Dublin Linux web stuff, which you're always doing.
Yeah, because the Connor discovered a cheaper vendor for our VPSs, a company called Hetzner, a German company that helps us save, decent amount of money, relatively speaking. So I was moving from our previous VPS provider to that one, and I thought, okay, if I'm going to do that, I might as well improve on the infrastructure. So I jumped headfirst into Ansible and Docker, knowing neither, and basically lost all my hair in the process. we are reading the recording notes from our newly running Nextcloud server, and the website is up. So something must be working, I guess.
All your hair?
Yeah. That's 2 weeks ago, if you don't remember, I was like, I had full head of hair.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I was pugging, I was throwing my mane left and right and center, and all I can do is just, I don't know, lenin, whatever.
So Mike is the coal face at the engine room of all these things. So
I think you'll find that the official title is the chief engineer.
Yeah, well, I'll let you say that. That's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't want to steal the glory. For me, after saying on Linux Spotlight with Rocco, actually, that I forgot to mention the last two episodes. I was on Linux Spotlight with Rocco of Big Daddy Linux, and I completely forgot to give him a shout out. Sorry, Rocco. I'm just a very selfish person or something, I don't know. But that was a great experience. It was cool. I had a chat with Rocco. I got to ramble on all the things I don't get to ramble on here. So that was really nice. Just wanted to give him a mention. If you haven't seen it, please go see it. but other than that, like on that, I mentioned that I'm not a distro hopper, and on this podcast I've said on several different occasions that I'm not a distro hopper anymore. But recently I've kind of had to eat my words, because I went on a bit of an odyssey or something. So the story was,
a reformed distro hopper.
Again distro hopper.
But I was on Zorin and I was loving Zorin. But then I swapped out my hard drives because they were very old and I was afraid they were going to fail. So swapped out the hard drives, and I thought, what the hell, I'll give Pop! OS a whirl, and absolutely fell in love with it. I thought it was amazing. Then I just started to get some weird problems. No, sorry, I tell a lie. I went to Ubuntu 20.04 first and then to Pop! OS. But Ubuntu was about a week. The distro hopper in me was completely gone out the window, or was completely back in the window, I should say. But Pop! OS. But then I'm just getting some weird boot problems now. It's just, I don't know, every second time I boot, I just get these weird terminal errors going on. I don't know. I've talked about it in the Telegram chat, but... I'm just not sure what's going on. So now I think I'm just going to nuke and pave and clone my Zorin OS hard drive that I still have and just go with that. So I'm no longer a distro hopper. Or I am a distro hopper after not being a distro hopper.
it's one of them.
Yeah.
He's Schrodinger's distro hopper. He's both a distro hopper, not a distro hopper at the same time.
Distro hopper, yeah.
So what I've been up to, it was my birthday recently, and I turned
What age? Tell us two numbers.
I could give you two numbers. They wouldn't be the I turned 34. But the thing about
right behind you, buddy,
slowly migrating your way through your 30s is you don't want to admit it as much as you previously like when you're in your 20s. Yeah, I turned 25, 26, 27. Okay, now the numbers are starting to increase. Well, due to nature of aging, but it's just after a while. And I'm sure there's now people in their 40s and people in their 50s listening to this, shouting at it, going, "You're still young." But it's all relative. But
exactly.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's not the novelty as it used to be, and I suppose slowly you just kind of get sick of it. So it was during the week, so I messaged a couple of my friends and said, do you want to pop on to a virtual pub and just kind of raise a glass? And that it was all casual and informal, but because everyone had just done a day's work, including myself, we were kind of nodding off after about an hour, so it wasn't much of a party.
that's the thing with the 30s, you know, the you get the few beers into you, and then you're just like, 10 years previous you would have been like, okay, right, that's just the beginning. So but then it's like, no, I think I'll go to sleep. I have to be up early in the morning.
Yeah, all of those drunken hijinks is reserved to the weekend, and even then send it seldomly.
Matthew, I'm going to go to you because we haven't spoken to you for a long time. What have you been up to for the last little while?
Working a lot on the Lutris website. That's been keeping me busy a lot for the past week. Planning for a server migration, because seeing quite a bit of traffic, and also the website has been slow for a while, and I've been paying for the server for like a few months now. I mean, pretty long time, and not using it. So now we're getting prepared for this new production setup using Docker, using like a much more tighter integrated setup that's going to be pushed like maybe today or maybe like tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
There's also been like a few Lutris updates, so I've been working on that. There's going to be an update focused on MAME mostly. So if you have been using Lutris, you know that we have like the MAME emulator. Mm. We used to have like MES as well, which is like the home console version of MAME. And we plan to deprecate it and just bring like just MAME that handles everything. So that's going to be like coming soon.
That's so cool. I don't know if this is a really stupid question or not, but is there any plans for an ARM build of Lutris, or does that already exist?
That kind of exists already. I mean, it's not really officially supported, but since Lutris itself is just Python, then you install like a Linux desktop on ARM, you just install the dependencies and you can install Lutris. So there is a package for OpenSUSE, the ARM version of OpenSUSE, even for PC, I think. But there's nothing to compile, so it just will run on any system. Then you have to rev the actual runners to be built on ARM. So you have to have RetroArch, you have to have MAME, and all of those programs compiled for ARM, and that's most of the problem. And obviously you won't have Wine, so a bunch of games won't be available because they're not available on Wine. All the native games as well, I mean, that's going to be a problem because most of them are for x86. So yeah, it's possible right now, but it's not been worked on a lot. So we want to have something better. And I've seen like a project, like last week or 2 weeks ago from some guy who was making some kind of x86 emulator for ARM that was open source and it was supposedly running pretty well. So I'm really interested in that because that could bring a few games on ARM as well.
I am myself not exactly a gamer, so since we've already thrown the Lutris name around, could you quickly please explain to people like me, and not explain to me like I'm 5, because if I was 5 I would know, but explain to me like I'm 60, what is Lutris, and how does it compare to the one thing I know about gaming, which is Steam?
Steam. Okay, so the big difference between Steam and Lutris is that Steam is a game store, so they sell games and you can get them from Steam. Lutris, we just make the games easy to run and install on Linux. So there's a lot of games out there. Only a fraction of them are made for Linux. So how are you going to play all those remaining games that have not been released for Linux? So we use all kind of tools. Like one of them is Wine that will run games Windows. For example, I was mentioning MAME as well, which will run games for the arcades. We put them all together. We have like builds for all programs that user can download, and we offer like an easy way for user to say, okay, I want to play this game. We'll give you all the tools, all the installation process to do this very simply in just a few clicks, without having to set up like complicated programs or anything like this. It's having a straightforward way to set up your games, not purchasing them. You have to buy them like somewhere else, but we try to cover like a lot of game stores. So we cover Steam itself. So we mentioned Steam. We have like GOG as well. We have the Epic Game Store. We have Uplay. All those stores you can buy games from and then install them on Linux and play them. And with some, we'll set up like all the tools and all these little improvements we can make, such as like we have tools like DXVK that was used to convert the graphics API to something that runs great on Linux. Everything we can do to make the games run better, we'll try to bring it to the users.
That's cool. Yeah, it's essentially like a desktop gaming client, a desktop gaming portal for games for Linux. Ah.
And so you mentioned Wine, Play on Linux, with something similar that I've discovered in the past and I've used in the past, but it sounds to be that this is almost all encompassing. Like you're using APIs and things like DXVK and Wine and things like that, but also just simply being a front end. I mean, if there's a native Linux game on Steam and you also sign in with your GOG library or something like that, and they're all native games, but it's just a central launching platform. So my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, is it works in both camps. It's both a way of getting non-Steam or non-Linux native games to run on Linux, but also as a central place for your Steam games, your GOG games, and also games that you just downloaded yourself as standalone executables.
Yeah. So the idea is that if there is a way to run a game on Linux, then Lutris should provide the tools and method to get it running on Linux easier. So it does. What we try to get and popularize is DRM-free games. So there's at this point with Proton and Steam Play and all this, there's very little point to running Steam games with Lutris, because Steam will just do it like pretty well. In the past, we had like Wine Steam, which would run like the Windows version of Steam, and we still have it, but now that Steam Play is here, well, there's only a handful of games that won't run like well with Proton, so there's only a few use cases for Wine Steam. But really, we want to try pushing with Humble Bundle and GOG and all the stores that provide DRM-free games, and also all the stuff that's running, like homebrews, and all, we try to popularize this because Steam is doing fine by itself. So we try to do like everything else that's not Steam. So be it like DRM-free or even launching Blizzard games like with Battle.net or Ubisoft games like with Uplay. We try to focus on everything that is not Steam while we let Steam do its thing. And yeah, we still can do the both, but it's still like there's a lot outside of Steam. Yeah.
One thing that I was just thinking while you're when you mentioned DRM free, do you have itch.io integration or
itch.io? I mean, it has a very good client, so we haven't focused on that a lot, but we have some installers that will ask for the itch.io files, like game files. But since the client for itch.io is like pretty good,
it's pretty well made.
I mean, it works. Whereas you have something like GOG. I mean, where is the client for GOG on Linux? Like people have been asked.
Non-existent.
Yeah, and even if there was a client, then maybe the GOG client would only install Linux games. Whereas, I mean, the Lutris will install like any game from GOG, be it like The Witcher, or I don't know, like even the GOG that don't have a native port, they will just install fine. So maybe it's a better thing that we don't have this official client, because the official client would only support the officially supported games, whereas like Lutris is like, yeah, we'll install it. It will be fine.
A few weeks back, I actually looked to me like that's something that was put together by let's say like one person in order to maybe facilitate playing of one game and then another one, and then maybe there was a common thread, so it kind of grew into a launch like this. Is that how it happened, or am I totally off?
I mean, the very first thing I did for like before Lutris was a launcher, like kind of a program, like a Python program to configure Oblivion, so the Elder Scrolls 4. But then I wanted to have something that was more flexible. And from the very beginning, I think the idea was to support pretty much every game that could run on Linux. And from the very start, I had like this whole idea of bringing together a bunch of emulators and running, like giving a way to run them on Linux without having to hunt down for emulators or having to hunt down for settings. And at the time, I was considering contributing to Play on Linux, and I read some of the code to Play on Linux, and I was like, I mean, this only deals with Wine games, and I really want to have like Linux games and ScumVM games and DOS games and all those. So I wasn't really happy with how Play on Linux was written. So that's really what pushed me to get started with Lutris. Is I wanted really to have something that would encompass all games and not just a few games, not just like Windows games, but really something that would do like Linux, Windows, and all the other consoles as well.
How long ago was that?
About 10 years ago, yeah. A bit more than 10 years ago.
One thing I was curious, I mean, it's not a technical question, but where did the Otter mascot or the Otter logo come from?
At first I went with this idea of Otter because it's an animal that likes to play. And then some friend who was like also a graphics artist said, okay, well, I might try and draw a logo for you. And it did. And that turned out great. And yeah, I mean, we kept it. And then we made a few changes to that other logo, but yeah, it's kind of stuck from the original one.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but was there a version that kind of was almost holding like an old Atari
game stick? Yeah, the Atari joystick, and you can still find it like in some websites or maybe some places that haven't been updated. The first one had this little Atari joystick on the middle, yeah.
Needless to say, like you'll probably get an angry letter from some lawyers if you get that up. That looks very similar to
I mean, I don't think that's Atari would be angry at us. I mean, they haven't used that design in a very long time. They're still Atari is still struggling at making their own console, like chipping it.
Yes.
So
that's true.
They have bigger problems right now. They wanted to ship this console with one of the joystick would be like the one of those classic ones from the Atari age. So yeah, I mean, it would be cool. I want to see if this Atari console will happen, because I would love to have like Lutris shipped on that stuff. So yeah, I mean, I want to have this happen. Yeah.
Has anybody ever approached you with like hardware stuff, saying we would like to put Lutris on our hardware?
I've had like people a very long time ago, I think, that had some emails, but from people who didn't have like a real project going. They just said, oh, it would be cool if that happened, like having some kind of Lutris console. But the project wasn't real enough to really happen. I mean, even Valve tried to do something like this and it didn't go anywhere. So
with their Steam boxes.
Yeah, like the Steam boxes didn't go anywhere. Like really, there's not been a project. All the projects of like console PCs have like kind of tanked and it didn't go anywhere. So I'm still waiting on one. I still would like to have some kind of project that does that. And even today, I have a PC running Steam and it's on the TV and it's still not good enough. So, and I have Lutris and it's still not usable on the TV. So at this point, I really wish that we would make like a full screen interface that runs well on TV. And even if it's not like a hardware manufacturer, if it's something that anyone can install, I would like that. If it's something that's okay, there's not a hardware we sell, you can just build it yourself, and here's the software we can install, here's like the software recommendation and the hardware recommendation, and just you can set that up by yourself and there you go. And if someone wants to sell the hardware, I mean, that would be great too, but having something that you can install yourself would be a good start.
From what it sounds like you're describing is like get a Raspberry Pi and have a Lutris OS image for Pi or something and just download and then just put it on a SD card and put it into Raspberry Pi or something. That'll be something very interesting, yeah.
But something better than a Raspberry Pi is something with a GPU.
We've tried installing Xenotic on the Rock Pro or something, and it didn't work very well, I think. So it probably ARM is not ready.
I think the more powerful ARM things are like the Nvidia Shield TV or something.
Well, yeah, I've mentioned ARM a little bit before, and I would say so far it's like not the best platform for gaming. We would need to have some. And I bought the first Pinebook, the non-pro one. And at first I said, okay, this will be a great machine for developing the ARM version of Lutris, but it turned out that it didn't have like the Mali GPU drivers weren't baked in of any Linux distro I tried. So the Android build of on Pinebook could run like GTA 3 and all those Android games like really great. And as soon as I would try it like Manjaro or like KDE Neon, it wouldn't be able to run like DOSBox or like RetroArch unless I would like recompile the whole thing with some driver. I mean, it was really complicated and never managed to do anything with it. So I kind of abandoned the idea of using that as the development like platform for Lutris. Yeah, maybe it will happen like in the future. Maybe I will get a Pinebook Pro, but that didn't go anywhere.
So what's your favorite hardware that you currently play on?
Like PC, I currently play on either my workstation, which is i7 and with a Radeon card, or have this Ryzen machine that is on the TV that has my old NVIDIA card. But yeah, currently I would say that I still like Intel more, at least for a workstation, although like the Ryzen are pretty good. And I used to be really big on NVIDIA GPUs, but I would say that now, yeah, I'd say it's a good time to get an AMD GPU. They're pretty good. They're pretty like cheaper than what you can get for an NVIDIA, and they run pretty. They run everything like really great. So I'd say this is a good time for
AMD. The drivers are in the kernel as well as so.
Yeah, I'm hard on this gaming in the living room with Linux thing right now. I've been trying my best. Like I've just been, gaming has been a bit of a theme for me over the last month or so. Like I got an old Nintendo DS Lite, and that was really cool because I could put like ROMs on it and shit like that, you know, legally obtained, of course. I was also putting like I got a MegaPi case for my Raspberry Pi 3, so it has like hardware switches and everything, so you can reset and you can turn it on and off, which is amazing. And it looks like a Sega Mega Drive 2 case. So you put your Raspberry Pi 3 in there, and that's going to be like a living room retro thingy. I also toyed with the idea of actually putting together a Steam box, like you were saying, because like Ryzens are so bloody cheap these days, and you can get an APU chip or something like that, and you could run, you know, some fairly modest games, but you know, you're not going to be playing anything too intense in the living room, in my experience anyway. So you know, that could be a nice like low cost build for the living room. So, but you know, because of the pandemic, we have all this extra money because we're not going anywhere, you know, so why not.
What distro do you use for gaming? What's your, if you have a favorite distro, unless you distro hop like Shane?
No, I mostly use PopOS these days, and it's like Ubuntu but has like more recent graphics stack. So yeah, mostly stay on that. I like Manjaro as well. I've had a good experience with that. But yeah, usually, I mean, I used to run Ubuntu, and then I would run Ubuntu plus the PopOS stuff installed on top of it. So now I just run PopOS. And it has Lutris by default in its repo, so that's nice.
That's very nice. Did you say the whole Lutris is done in Python?
Yes. So, like the interface, like the UI side is done in Python, because there's a whole bunch of like external programs that's plug into Lutris, but the UI, the website is all Python. The desktop application is done with Python and GTK. So it's not going to use like Python code itself. It's mostly going to be using this C code, like the C libraries that will plug into Python, so it will be pretty fast. And the website
is a new one.
Django. Huh?
That's a new one that you are building, or you said the application is going to be using.
Using a GTK3, like the PyG objects.
And Django.
And the website is using Django and other like Python libraries, yeah.
What do you use, if you don't mind me asking? I'm curious, probably to the detriment of the show, but I'm really curious, what do you use for development? What if you have a favorite IDE, or if you type it all in Notepad?
I have this this Vim setup that I've been working for the past 10 years. So it's not really Vim. It's like Vim plus 50 plugins and a 500 lines Vim RC. So if you
Mike very happy.
That surpasses my stuff, right? I think my Vim RC is less than 100 lines long. So,
so yeah.
For shame.
If you give me a bare Vim, I'm pretty lost. So what I need is like Vim, but my Vim, not someone else's Vim, or just not a bare Vim.
to have like a safe where you have a USB stick with your VimRC on it, that so that everything else burns down, you still have that.
It's well, it's got GitHub, so if GitHub is down, well, I still have it into one of my machines, because the first thing I do when I set up machines, just clone my dot files, and so pretty much my dot files are all on the machines I have. So I guess I don't really need a USB, because I just need to have like access of one of my machines and I'm good.
One thing I'm just curious about as I'm clicking through the interface here is over towards the top left, there's a kind of a sign in button, and it's suggesting that I would set up a online account. Would there be any kind of synchronization in that, if you sign into your account on more than one computer, or
So I'll say it, like, I'll be very honest, but there's very little point in having a Lutris account right now. Okay. You can do pretty much anything. You can play the games in Lutris without the Lutris account. You need an account if you want to participate, if you want to write installers, if you want to submit patches like to the installers and all that kind of stuff. You will need an account, but if you're just a gamer and you just want to play games, you can do all of this without an account. What you can do is build your Lutris library and say, okay, I want to build this library, and they will be synchronized across all your computer where you have Lutris installed. And then what you can do is synchronize your Steam library with your Lutris library, which is that all your Steam games will be done, will go into your Lutris library. This isn't as straightforward as I would want it to be, because, for example, when you delete a game from your Lutris client, then it doesn't get deleted from your Lutris library. So when you open Lutris again, it will come back. So, I mean, all that kind of stuff. And also, I want to have some kind of friend list. I want to have some backup for like game saves, so when you finish playing a game, all your saves are backed up on the Lutris server. So some of this will be only for Patreon supporters, or like any kind of supporters at the beginning, or for paying supporters at first, but there will be some more uses for having a Lutris account in the near future. Right now, I'm saying it's like not that useful, but it will become more useful.
So, replicating some of the features that that Steam has, mm-hmm. or the GOG Galaxy has, where it's cloud saves, and messaging your friends and things like that.
Messaging is not the most important feature I want to bring. What I would like to bring is that's something that I don't think it has been done yet, is some kind of having the concept of an offline multiplayer lobby, where it would do like matchmaking for games that don't have a lot of players. So you would potentially be in a lobby of a game like all the time. So say, what's a game that's open source but doesn't have a lot of players? So
FreeCiv?
Xenotic?
Xenotic, FreeCiv, perfect. So say you want to play FreeCiv, but no one is ever playing that. So you say, I play FreeCiv and I'm ready to play FreeCiv as long as there are a bunch of people playing FreeCiv. So you subscribe to FreeCiv as your offline lobby. And whenever like there's like 10 people who have FreeCiv and they're like offline in their multiplayer lobby, then Lutris will pop up a notification saying, hey, you are enough players to start a FreeCiv game. Do you want to start a FreeCiv game? And that way you don't have to sit in the lobby of a game in order to start a game. You just have to subscribe to a game. And when like enough users are ready to play, then it will just tell you, hey, you're able to play, and you don't have to start the game, of course, but that way you know that a bunch of people who have the same interest in games will be able to play the game. So that's a way to bring like popularity into like games that, like open source games that, because there's always those empty lobbies and no one ever plays those games. But if you can bring those people together, then that's a good, that could be a good way to popularize those games.
If you have, like, I'm not exactly a gamer, and I looked at Loot Race a few weeks ago after a year of, like, it was a year before, because I, like, really don't spend much time on games, and I think I massively overthought the process, right? So I thought, right, there is a Grand Theft Auto, the original one, that you can download for free, and I think I got a little bit lost in it. Eventually, I was able to play it, and that was great because I'm a horrible person, like killing people. But what is the workflow for Loot Race? If I was to come to Loot Race for the first time, what am I meant to do from the first visit to playing a game? Let's say I want to play Free Civ or anything really. Is there like one workflow to do? Do I select the game from your menu, or do I?
Yeah, so let's start with Free Civ, because that one should be very straightforward. As I said, we're not a game store, so we're not going to sell you video games, but Free Civ being an open source game, we can just have a build and make it available to anyone. So the first thing you'll want is having the Loot Race clients installed on your desktop. That way, I mean, you can get the games installed. Once you have the client installed, then you'll need some what we call runners. So runners are programs that will run the video games. In the case of FreeCiv, you don't need any runner because it's a Linux game. So Linux itself, like the Linux kernel, is your runner. If you wanted to run a Windows games, then you would need Wine, most probably one of our custom Wine builds. But right now, you don't need to own anything on any game store. You don't need to have any extra program. You just need to have the Loot Race clients. You need to search for FreeCiv either on the website or in the clients. Then you click install. It will go through the whole install process. It will be like mostly automated. You only have to choose a location where the game will be installed. So Loot Race will not install the game in like an hidden folder. You have to give it some location where to install it, which is a bit different from like Steam or Play on Linux, where they will just choose a path for you to install. Here you can choose where to install it. And then it will like download the files, like extract archives and all that stuff. And you should be left with a game to launch, and you just have to double click the game and you're ready to play.
So what version would that be? Would that be the version that's particular to my distribution? So if I'm on Manjaro, would that be the one from AUR, or would that be compiled from GitLab, or like the release, or is it different for every game?
That would be the version, that would probably be the version that we maintain. So there's going to be an install script. It's not going to be able to reference any like distro packages, because the script has to be able to run on either Fedora or Ubuntu or Manjaro without being dependent on what the distro has. So it's not going to use the package from that distribution, even though it is able to import that game. If you haven't installed, you have another entry in a menu with import games. You can just import the FreeCiv version of that. But if you're going to use the Loot Race installer, then either the game makers will have a build themselves, so we can just link that and it will download the build, or if they don't, then we have to build the game ourselves, and in that case we'll maintain some kind of build script in bash that will take the source, download them, and upload the build on our servers.
So it's basically like the package scripts when you install from the AUR an application on Arch or Manjaro. I think I should know this because I'm running Manjaro, but I don't know this. I think you basically just download a script at first and it builds or pulls something from the internet depending on each package. So this is similar to what Lutris does.
From the console readout, I've seen that sometimes it pulls down a .deb or sometimes it pulls down an RPM or something like that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be native, but yeah, it's a script that pulls it down and then uncompresses it and then installs it. Yeah.
And these Lutris scripts, is it like a community effort, or do you have to make them all, or can anybody just submit their own, and do people do that? Is there a big community around it?
Yeah, it's growing. It's the process is still not perfect, but I mean, there's so many games that it would be impossible for like the team to maintain all of them by themselves. So there's a moderation process where like anyone can modify a script, and then they have to go into approval. And even that it's cumbersome. So I'm trying to like streamline that process and making the whole approval process easier. But it's also, from a security standpoint, it's tricky because we let anyone point, like any archive, and saying, okay, just download that file and run it on your computer. So we need to have some kind of moderation going on so that people just don't get a virus from Lutris, for example, yeah.
And is that, but you are installing in the user's home directory, aren't you?
Yes.
You don't necessarily run with privileges.
I mean, that can cause as much damage as... installing with root. I mean, I would be very angry if someone deleted all my user files, far more than if someone has deleted my programs. I mean, that is... We have to be careful, like, what we let people do in their scripts, and we have to be careful with what we let in, but still it's like a community effort, like anyone can improve those scripts.
I just wanted to ask you say you download this script and you say that for Linux games like FreeSafe or Xenotic you wouldn't need to do anything else, but for Windows game you need a runner, for example the Wine runner. Does Lutris install it as well, or is it? Do you have to have it installed on your computer before you run the Lutris Windows game?
Well, we do recommend to have Wine installed onto your system, but that's because Wine comes with a bunch of dependencies, and we want you to have those available onto your system before running games. That will make sure that they're actually run. But we will also download and use our own Wine builds. So it's, I don't know if you know, like, so you have Wine that will run like a Windows application, and then you have Wine staging, which is Wine, but with a bunch of patches which will like fix some issues, and it's a bit more experimental. And we build on top of Wine staging. So we have Wine plus its patches, and plus a bunch of other patches on top of that, so that we make some other games run. And on top of that, we have our build that have one or two extra patches on top of all the stuff we have. So really, we maintain all those builds of Wine, and sometimes it's just for one game. Sometimes it will be for... I remember we had something for Monster Hunter, or we had something for Detroit. Like maybe we'll need a patch for one or two games, and that can be a runner by itself. So yeah, I mean, we can use like the regular version of Wine, but most likely what we'll want is something very custom that has been made especially for running games. So yeah, we put a lot of efforts, and this is working very close to with the Wine team, and some people work in the Wine project and Proton as well. We do maintain some patches that will improve the compatibility.
So it's something that a concept that you came across, or you introduced earlier, was the whole idea of just having the a local kind of game lobby or something like that, and I could really see it as a central kind of showcase for getting multiplayer for certain games. I mean, like OpenRA or ZeroAD or Warzone. That's another open source game. I mean, I know Zonotic already has its lobby launching system and everything like that, but you could add Zonotic to the list, and it's kind of accumulate and all of those five or six games and all the other ones, and then just have a central kind of launch and say, listen, I have a couple of friends, and like we want to play OpenRA today, or we want to play OpenTTD. TTD is the train one. Some of them are really good games, but maybe they're not getting the exposure that they might have liked, and a part of it could be the social aspect to it, that you could have Lutris as a way of bringing them all together to make gaming more social rather than having single player. So it's a very intriguing idea. I just wanted to make that comment. It's a very good idea. I mean, it's quite interesting.
Make a Linux lads lobby or something. I don't know.
We would have to have a game, right? How many people do you work on this? Like, so is it? And stop me if I'm asking too many personal questions. About is this your job? Is this your 9-to-5? And is this your company, or are you just working only by yourself?
I wish this was my job, but sadly I still have to find other jobs once in a while to get the money in order to work on Lutris. Right now it is my full-time job until like next week. I'm starting a new contract, but this time I'm making this a part-time contract, so I'm still, it's getting big enough that I have to make time for Lutris, and I said, okay, I cannot take this full-time contract, I'm going to focus on Lutris exclusively, and then the employer was in touch with, said, okay, well, let's make it part-time, and said, oh, well, that will work. I wish also that I had more people who worked on the project. There's been I've had some help with the websites lately. So that's nice. I'm always glad to have some patches coming. And I've noticed lately that I had a bit more patches coming from contributors that have not that are pretty new. So I like having like new contributors, that's it. Feels like it's getting somewhere. It's building some kind of team. It took a while to get there, but I'm seeing like the improvements.
How can people support you? I think I remember there is a pop-up on your application that says support
us.
Yeah,
I mean, that pop-up, I'm trying to get rid of it and change it with something else. But right now there's a pop-up saying that you can support the project on Patreon. There's also LiberaPay. That's also an option. You can also just give with PayPal. That's fine. But I try to... I mean, there's such a backlog of things to do, and I want to bring features for the people who are supporters on Patreon, because right now they just only get access to our Discord server, and I want to be able to give them more. Like we talked about this cloud save thing, and yeah, that will be one of the features for Patreon supporters. That's the simplest platform right now. It's like PayPal and Patreon.
One question here that we have written down is, obviously since you're a passionate gamer, otherwise you wouldn't have come up with the whole idea of Lutris. Are there any standout games for you that you found that you spent a lot of time on or are particularly memorable for you?
I mean, it's fun because right now I don't think of a single game that I would want to play that I cannot play on Linux. So that's a pretty good time, yes.
That's very good,
right,
yeah.
Right now I'm spending a lot of time on Stardew Valley. since we have a lot of time on hand, and I've been really big on those games like Minecraft or Terraria that really suck you in and you spend like hours and hours playing them. And since I've had a lot of time, and that's I've been playing a lot of that. I like also games that are like Darksiders or those like action RPGs. And I'm pretty happy that we have Street Fighter V, like that is playable on Linux now. That's been playable like for a few days now. And also, let's not forget Doom Eternal, which was playable like 2 days after its release on Windows. I was like, yes, Doom Eternal.
I was playing Doom recently. Yeah.
And
not Doom Eternal.
It's I'm really thrilled to have all those new games that are being released and are playable on Linux almost right after their release. I'm not a big player of those multiplayer games like Fortnite or Apex Legends, and I know that it's sad that no one can play them on Linux because of the anti-cheats, but personally, I mean, I don't care that much because I'm more of a like single player game, or like the multiplayer games I like are more co-op. I'm not really a competitive player, so I'm not really big into those.
I can totally relate to that.
Yeah, some standard games, just as you're speaking there, ones that you hadn't mentioned, but you said you like action RPGs, so maybe the Torchlight series, Torchlight 2 is a particular favourite of mine, or Borderlands 2. I sunk so much time into Borderlands 2, it's ridiculous. I have acquired Borderlands 3, but have not got around to playing it yet. I don't know actually because my current setup is not the most powerful. I'm sure I could probably play it, but I'm nearly kind of holding off on it and going, maybe if I build myself a new rig, then I'll launch myself into Borderlands 3.
I'm one of these people who has a lot of things you can play games on, but very rarely plays games.
And I don't play nearly as much games I would want to. I mean, maybe now a bit more. But I end up playing in like Stardew Valley mostly. But yeah, I have this, like my main workstation is like getting 5 years old with like a very like cheap graphics card. I mean, it's like a RX 580, so it's like $200. It's very cheap compared to what you can get like on Nvidia or like the high-end stuff, and it runs pretty much everything. I run like Doom Eternal at 70 FPS, and I don't even know like what's the point of building a new system when you can get something that's 5 years old that will run pretty much like anything that's currently released.
For clarification of a 750 Ti, so it's getting a bit old. But no, for the most part, as I said, it plays Borderlands 2 full 1080p perfectly. So it's only now that there's newer games that are coming out that there's something in the back of my mind going, yeah, that might be a bit much for it. But to that point, I've not actually tried Borderlands 3. So Borderlands 3, I don't know if it has much more system requirements versus Borderlands 2. But from the trailers and everything, it does look like a more graphically intensive game. But I could be completely wrong. It could have similar resource requirements as Borderlands 2.
It does take way longer for a computer to play less games than you think. I mean, like I had computers before for 4 or 5 years, and they, for 80 to 90% of their lifetime, they were able to play pretty much every game I wanted to play, new and old. So, you know, I think if you get the right spec when you're building your PC, and you don't go too old on the components, then you're set for like 5-6 years, I think. You might have to turn down settings eventually, and you might have to turn off a few fancy effects, but it, you know, you're essentially okay for quite a while. And you know, the competitive PC gaming industry, whatever they are, they lie to you.
It's a conspiracy.
They do. They tell you you need a 600 or 700 euro graphics card when you actually don't.
For people that are curious, I mean, I am looking things up on Amazon. I'm not saying that I'm going to purchase anything. Certainly not in the short term. Possibly in the medium term to long term, but probably the CPU of the moment is the AMD 3300X. It's about $120 CPU. That's a quad core 8-thread CPU, and apparently it's punching way above its weight for $120. So there you go. That's my recommendation.
That's the new darling of the CPU world. I've been hearing about that as well.
Yeah. So Lutris is GPL, the general public license licensed. What do you? Do you have a strong preference, GPL over, say, BSD or MIT, or is that more or less accidental?
No, I wanted to make the main program GPL v3. That was, I think that was a good fit for that program. The website is AGPL, so that's also what I think that was like the most proper license for the websites. I like the MIT and Apache and all those. I like those as well, but more for like building blocks, like libraries or like some like components you would use in a program. But like for end user product like Lutris, I think that the GPL v3 is like a good fit.
A slightly flip of it, Matthew. You don't have any questions for us, do you?
So who here is like a Lutris user?
I have it installed, but I wouldn't say I'm a heavy Lutris user. No,
I'm the same. I installed it just so I'd have some questions to ask you, basically. But
for clarification, I did not install it about 20 minutes ago. I have it installed off and on over my things, but yeah,
I installed it 2 weeks ago, but but no, I really like the idea. I mean,
it's very good.
Any use for it. It's a fantastic. It's crazy actually how feature rich it is for a kind of such a small project. Like it's really impressive.
No, to me the most interesting thing is, and I know that's not meant to sound like anything because you know as I said I'm not exactly expert on gaming. My most of the gaming I've done over the few past months would be getting my ass beaten by the really easy AI on 0AD, right? And that's about the height of my gaming. But what I find really interesting is the way it's done technically. So to put together something that takes from different games for different platforms, written in different languages at different times, on different Linux distributions, and make it all work, like that sounds like you know we know that like Steam does that, but Steam has got employees and budgets and you know infrastructure. The fact that you are doing it on your own, that is amazing. Like. You know, that's astonishing, to be honest. That's like, wow, hat off, you know.
Well, I'm getting a little some help, but yeah, I mean the bulk of it was the starting point was really having some way of preserving like our games that we like our collection of games that we had built over the years and having some kind of way to play them because like even Steam, they only care about selling you games, but they don't really care about letting you play like the games you had like 20 years ago or 30 years ago. So yeah, I mean, I wanted to have some kind of setup that was, okay, you're not going to lose what you had. I mean, you're going to be able to play the games you've had on your machine for the foreseeable future. And that's something that's only, it's starting to be a problem because I'm starting to see like, so yeah, we're seeing a trend of playing games on the cloud. So for example, with Stadia, so you stream games basically, you don't run them on your computer. So I want to be sure that people are able to keep the games they had like on their computer and able to play them locally.
Also, the it's very much apparent from your integrations with different stores, like you have your Steam, your GOG, Humble Bundle, things like that. Is the whole thing of sure you're saying to a user, sure you might have games scattered around the place, but here's a central place of just being able to. If it's a game launcher or just pull down the games just for archival purposes, and saying you may not be aware of how to pull down all your GOG games or all your Humble Bundle games, or you might be aware of it, but it's a lot of effort to go in and manually go this game download, this game download, this game download on other web page or something like that. But here you've made it really easy, and as you mentioned before, there isn't an official GOG client for Linux, so thank you very much, thank you for like being able to play just a simple way of just being able to launch my GOG games. Not that there's anything bad against GOG. I mean, some of their Linux ports of games are actually really good, or sometimes their older games they come up with a Windows executable that is very Wine friendly, so they do their own custom development there as well. So, but to have all of that and for it to just work on Linux is just brilliant.
So thanks so much to Matthew for coming on the show. It's been a really like fascinating conversation, because as I was saying, like the subject of gaming is so important in the Linux world, so it's really interesting to hear kind of a voice from that whole area. So big thanks for coming on. As always, you can find us, find all our contact details at linuxlads.com/contact. You can get us on Twitter at linuxlads, show@linuxlads.com is the email address. You can find us on Mattermost and Signal and all that. No, you can't. You can find us on Carrier Pigeon. Any final thoughts, guys? Did I forget any socials?
Matthew,
I always
socials?
Forget one.
Matthew, socials?
Matthew.
Yes, that's what I was forgetting. Matthew.
Yeah.
How could people get in touch with you?
There's Lutris on Twitter. There's Lutris on... frankly, the best way to just get in touch with us is just join our Discord server, because that's where like most people are. And most of the people... the team is all... on Discord, so yeah, that would be the easiest way. If you have something technical, like really about the client or the website, then you can always leave something on GitHub. But if it's just to chat and get in touch, I mean, Discord is really the best way, because that's a way to get not in just with just me, but also the other people who work on the project.
Nice.
That's great. So you heard it here first. Or last, I don't know. Mike?
Yeah, no, sorry, nothing. I was, my brain has started boiling, so I'm no longer functioning.
Right.
Sorry.
On. Without further ado, we have been the Linux Lads. I've been Shane.
I've been Mike. I've been Gunnar.
And you've been and Matthew. Matthew.
Matthew.
So, see you all in another few days or weeks. Bye.
Or something.